Hi everyone, I'm Brian Peters, and this is The Science of Social Media, a podcast by Buffer, your weekly sandbox for social media stories, insights, experimentation, and learning.
Welcome to episode number 94. I'm Haley Griffiths, and this week we're covering what has been one of the most talked about subjects in all of tech over the last few weeks, and that's the General Data Protection Regulation Privacy Law, or GDPR.
GDPR is a new data privacy regulation that aims to give individuals in the EU protection and control over their personal data, and it has some major implications for your business and the tools that you use, whether you're located in the EU or not.
Super important episode today, and we're glad that you're here with us to learn all about it. Let's kick off the show.
Up to 20 million euro, or 4% of your total worldwide annual turnover of the previous financial year, whichever is higher. That, my friends, is the penalty for failing to comply with GDPR, the EU's new data privacy law. So let's start with how we got here in the first place.
And just a quick heads up that this is not legal advice for your company to use in complying with GDPR. This is our interpretation of how it will affect you as marketers, social media managers, and business owners.
Yes, glad we got that out of the way.
In today's connected world, personal data is being collected at an incredible rate. So the websites that you use, the calls you make, the places you visit, and even the photos you take are all recorded, measured, and leave a digital footprint. A footprint that is fast becoming a valuable resource for millions of businesses.
Yep, GDPR has really brought to light how personal data is truly a resource. In May 2017, The Economist called personal data, quote unquote, the world's most valuable resource ahead of oil because of how much it informs the way companies communicate with their customers and how positively it impacts customer service. So pretty heavy stuff.
Definitely. And because personal data is so valuable, unfortunately, it's vulnerable to theft or misuse, and this has led to consumers demanding to know how companies use and store their personal data. This is because overall, consumers are not convinced companies are doing enough to protect them.
That's right, Haley. In fact, a 2016 consumer privacy study found that 92% of online customers cite data security and privacy as a concern. While another report by the Chartered Institute of Marketing found that 57% of consumers don't trust brands to use their data responsibly. Ouch.
Clearly, there's a significant disconnect between consumers, their personal data, and how the companies that collect it use it. Hence, why in 2018, the EU is introducing GDPR, a new set of laws designed to safeguard personal data and inform the decisions of marketers for companies operating in the EU and for companies that process data from users in the EU, and they're being introduced on May 25th of 2018.
And if you're not sure what GDPR is or where to start, no worries. HubSpot found that just 36% of marketers have heard of GDPR, while 15% of companies have done nothing about it and are at risk of non-compliance. So if you're listening to this episode before May 25th, 2018, you still have got plenty of time to understand the laws and do what you need to do. Even if you're listening to this after May 25th, 2018, it's never too late to jump on the GDPR compliance train.
First off, if you're wondering if GDPR applies to your business or team, it does. If you're A, tracking user behavior on your website or in your app for marketing and personalization, B, collecting email addresses and other personally identifiable information for email marketing, or C, testing strategies to re-engage churned or lost customers.
Well, Haley, I'm willing to bet that most, if not all, of our listeners are in that boat in some way. We were for sure at Buffer. So the GDPR was designed to ensure that there will be more transparency between the organizations who collect and control the data, aka the data controllers, and the individuals whose personal data is being collected, aka the data subjects. And just to reiterate, this law is for businesses operating in the EU or for businesses that process data from individuals in the EU, which is tricky for lots of businesses because it's very difficult to separate out EU users from non-EU users on your website without a sophisticated back-end process.
Exactly. Better to stay safe and compliant in this situation. Plus, I can definitely see the US, or at least hopefully see the US and other countries, moving to a form of this sort of data privacy in the future. So first of all, for any organization which attracts people to its website and wants to collect data via form or subscription, they must communicate clearly to that person what the data is going to be used for. The individual will need to give their explicit consent to use their data, and the consent needs to be clear and in plain English, and as the actual law refers to, quote, informed, specific, unambiguous, and revocable, end quote. Data subjects also need to be told about their right to withdraw consent. In other words, they need to have the option to back out at any time.
Yes, and Haley, you said it right there. Consent is the first major area of GDPR for marketers, meaning that the days of relying on pre-ticked checkboxes or inactivity as implicit consent to track activities and send marketing communications are unfortunately over. Businesses now must have the person check the box themselves and opt in, and it must be clear what you will use their personal data for.
For example, let's say you have a user from the EU visit your website looking for new ways to grow their Instagram account. Perfect, because you just happen to have a downloadable guide on growing an Instagram account that you have used to collect email addresses and remarket with. Before GDPR, you could basically add their email address to your database and just market away, just do your thing.
Exactly, but now you need to clearly communicate how you plan to use their data and give them an explicit choice to opt in or to opt out. For a user to opt into your marketing, they have to have a clear affirmative action. Not only that, but you also need to offer them an easy way and obvious way to withdraw previously given consent and maintain documentation of the details of where, how, and when you collected consent from your users.
That's it. In addition to that, when an organization is collecting data from an individual in order to convert a website visitor into a lead, they must remember that under the GDPR, they are only permitted to collect data that is, quote, adequate, relevant, and limited to what is necessary, end quote, for the intended purpose of their collection.
Yeah, so this is where it gets a bit ambiguous, not that it isn't already, but you'll definitely want to consult either your legal team here or an expert on this part of the law. Essentially, organizations can only use the data collected and stored by them for specified, explicit, and legitimate purposes, as you just said, Haley. They're not allowed to use it in any way that's different from what the original intended purpose of the collection was.
Yes. So let's go back to our earlier Instagram example and say that as a requirement to download the Instagram guide, you ask for a name, email, and company size. That fits within the law, but you couldn't ask for other irrelevant information such as income, family, health, like favorite color, I don't know, anything that is just not relevant. Not that you would, but it would just be regulated now. And you also can't turn around and use that same data for other purposes unless you specifically mentioned those purposes during the person's signup process.
Right. And so that's what a lot of products and companies and businesses and marketers are doing right now, including us. So let's say someone signed up for the Buffer product. Well, traditionally, we might send them both product and marketing related emails. We might track their usage on our website and then use that to retarget content to them across Google and Facebook. Under GDPR, customers now need to specifically opt into all of that. And, you know, we are tracking, like I said, customer usage of our website product and other things and plan to use that information. So that's also something we'll need to communicate in a clear, unambiguous way to our customers. So now that we got that covered, let's get into what all of this means specifically for marketing and social media.
We've covered a lot so far. GDPR is big. So just to let everyone know, we just released a big post covering GDPR and more on our blog. So you can check out blog.buffer.com/GDPR-social-media. Or just search Buffer Blog GDPR and it will probably be the top result in Google. So on the organic side of social media, the good news is that it will be largely unaffected by the new regulation. And this is because most organic social media activities, such as posting content and engaging with fans, those don't collect personal data from people who view or engage with it.
Exactly. So carry on with your organic social media strategy as you normally would. But on the paid advertising side of things under GDPR, if you want to use your customers' data or track their behavior for advertising, you must obtain legal basis to do so. That is, again, you have to obtain an explicit opt-in consent from your customers.
This is a big one because we use things like Google Analytics and Facebook Pixels to track visitors to our website and also within our product. If you are in the same boat, here are a few key points to know. One, your customers must be given a free and genuine choice to accept or reject and be allowed to easily withdraw their consent. And two, you have to state what data will be collected and how it will be used.
I'm sensing an overall theme here, Haley. It actually kind of just hit me how it's kind of easy when you think about it in general. It's just implementing it that's going to be challenging.
Yeah.
In addition to the things that you just said, the request for consent has to be in clear and plain language, as we talked about before. Inactivity also doesn't constitute consent. So your customers, in other words, have to take action. You know, for example, pre-tick boxes for consent are not allowed. You know, when you arrive at a website, like, hey, do you agree? And it's already checked. Can't do that anymore. It also gets a bit complicated here. So we'd recommend checking out our blog post, like Haley just mentioned, for starters. Lots of great resources in there. Reforge has a great article. HubSpot's got valuable insights. So lots out there to learn from.
Yeah. And just closing the loop on the advertising side of things, one of the things that will definitely be impacted are Facebook and LinkedIn lead ads. Facebook and LinkedIn have actually made some great changes to their lead ad flows that allow you to stay compliant with GDPR. And from now on, before you can create a lead ad on Facebook, you'll have to explicitly accept their lead ad terms.
Awesome stuff, Haley. And yeah, Facebook and LinkedIn are very proactive about it, so you won't be left in the dark. And just for the record, Google also has a ton of resources to make sure that you're compliant in your website tracking and AdWords campaigns. And then MailChimp also has a lot of resources to make sure that you're compliant with your email marketing. So across the board, social media, Google, and email marketing, you will be covered. So on behalf of Haley and I and the Science of Social Media, we wish you the best in your GDPR journey. We just know that you're absolutely going to rock it.
Thank you so much for opting in to today's episode. As always, feel free to reach out anytime using hashtag BufferPodcast on Twitter or shoot us an email to hello@buffer.com. We also appreciate your reviews on iTunes. We're up to more than 112 in the US store as of today. So thank you so much. Reviews are what helps keep us on our toes and keeping our show growing.
Yes, I love reviews so, so much. Also, almost as much as I love talking about GDPR. Over the next few weeks, we'll be covering lots of great stuff in the social world, including how to grow your YouTube channel, like the pros, social media for small businesses, and lots more.
With that, we hope you have a great week, and we will catch you next Monday.